Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh is daf Kuf Yud, and we're holding on Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. So, remember that yesterday we were talking about the question of what really is the Svara precisely of Rabbi Gamliel, who says that, look, you know, if the child is not Mima Enet, so then when she grows up, she is going to be fully married to him. And when she's fully married to him, so her older sister is then going to be Ptura from Yibum because she will be married completely to the Yavam. And then obviously it's a Erva that falls to the Yavam is Pasul. So the question that we had was, is that because he holds that the Kedushei Ketana basically is there from the beginning, except it's unable to be chal until she is old enough to be able to make kinyanim. And therefore, as soon as she gets old enough, automatically she's married to him, as if it was there the whole time. Or is it that he holds it doesn't have to be there the whole time, even if, let's imagine a case where his brother had been married to a woman, and after the brother dies, the zika was already chal, the Yavam goes and marries the sister. Even then it would be Pater. In which case the issue of Yavam Gamliel would be that if he was Baal after she was grown, so then in fact she would be married to him. And at that point, she Paters the sister from Yibam. But had he not been Baal, so then she wouldn't be married to him. And then she wouldn't Pater the sister from Yibam. And it's not automatic. Now, Rav had said that he holds that it's only in the event that he was Baal. And we had the whole discussion, was Rav half asleep when he said that, because it's against what appears to be the clear-cut brayta that says not like that. We ended up saying there's no reason to say that Rav didn't say that. So now we're up to the question of whether is this really Rav's opinion or not. So we got up to the third line up from the bottom, where we were up to. So in other words, you're telling me, v'sova rav, I ba'al in lo ba'al lo. So the only time that we would say that, according to Rabbi Gamliel, when the child grew up to be old enough to be mukudeshet, is if he once again sleeps with her in order to achieve a kiddushin d'oraisa. But if not, she will not pater her older sister. But the problem is that we seem to have a contradiction to this in Rav's own words. Because take a look at this mimer of Rav. Vayitmar. Kitana shelo miyana. What would be the case of a kitana who never did miyun, and she grows up, she's now a gedola, and amda v'niseit, she goes and gets married to somebody else. So now, what's the situation? Is she considered to be married d'oraita? And therefore, it's absurd for her to have accepted Kedushin from someone else. It would make absolutely no difference. That's absurd. So she doesn't need a get. Or do we say that she needs a get? So Rav says she doesn't need a get, which apparently, what is this dependent on? Isn't this dependent on the question of whether you need for her to once again get a good Kedushin through his Bia afterwards? And Rav says, I mean, I'm assuming over here, just says she grew up, right? Apparently he wasn't Baal again. And Rav says, no, eino tzricha get misheni. How could she be mekabelet Kedushin for somebody else? She's married to the first guy. So apparently she's married to the first guy, midiraita. V'shmuel amar, nope, she's not married yet. It's really get me, Shani. Now, I mean, if that's what Shmuel says, man, obviously we can't be talking about a case where he was Baal, right? So my love the lo Baal. And therefore, Rav is saying, ain't it tzricha get, because the Kedushin automatically grew up with her without any subsequent Bila. No, says the Gemara, talking about that he was Baal. What? If he was Baal, how could Shmuel possibly say something so crazy that nonetheless, he was Baal afterwards, and nonetheless, the deal is that she has to get a get from another husband. When a woman is married to one guy, has to get a get. If she accepts Kedushin from someone else, that's ridiculous. Ah, the point is that Shmuel holds, even though he was Baal, we have no reason to assume that that was an intent to make a new Kedushin, because Shmuel Shita is that there is a different problem. I'll show you in a moment where we have that as Gufa Machlokas, but Shmuel's Svara is that Kol HaBoel Al Da'at Kiddushin Rishonim Hu Boel. And according to Shmuel, the fact that he was Boel again is not an intent for a new Kinyan. And he's just continuing the assumed relationship that he had with her until now, which of course was only a Drabonin relationship, and therefore is not sufficient to be Doicha the Kedushin of the second one unless she gets a get from him. Wait, but, I mean, if that's the issue, why did we have to go through this machlokas with Rav and Shmuel? We know this issue itself was a famous machlokas of Rav and Shmuel in a different context. Rav Pligiba, Chada Zimna. Where is that? That is a case that we've actually been referring obliquely to this case many, many times, where somebody is Mekadesh on a T'nai, and then he goes ahead and takes her to the Chuppah without saying that T'nai. And it turns out, let's say he said, I'm going to take you in marriage on condition that you don't have any Nedarim that are on you. I don't want a woman that's got all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, that's all I needed to find out that you're vegan afterwards. Oh, God help us. So therefore, it turns out in the end, after he takes her to the chuppah, sure enough, she had made a neder that she is only a vegan. Okay, so now, what's the din? So Rav says she needs to get anyway, despite the fact that there had been a t'nai. And Shmuel says, no, she doesn't. So Rav says, since he went ahead and he didn't repeat the t'nai when he took her to the chuppah, so kivan de nazba achule achle le t'nai, obviously meant now to be meichel is t'nai, and now that he's already been with her for a year waiting for the chuppah, he's ready to go ahead. Where Shmuel says, no, because kol haboel adat kiddushin harishonim hu boel, it's all very nice that he took her to the chuppah, but he had obviously in mind all of the things that he had originally stipulated. I mean, if he said, I only want to be Mekadesh you on condition that you do not have Nedarim, why should we say that all of a sudden it's fine even though there are no, I won't say that. So you see that according to Shmuel, indeed, we just go according to the original situation. The original situation is exactly what Shmuel says over here. Why do we need to hear it twice? Here it's talking about where there's a condition. In the other case, what we're talking about in our situation was talking about not Kedushin on T'nai, but Kedushin of a Ketana. But it's the same idea, isn't it? Says the Gemara, no, it's not really exactly the same idea, because I need to know that they argue in both situations, both in the way that we applied it to the Ketana, and also in the way that it was applied over there, Binogeya, the issue of making a T'nai. And I'll tell you why we need to have both cases. Because I would say like this, Di'itmar Dahi, let's say it was only mentioned in the case where there was a T'nai. So you say, well, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Because I could easily have said, you know, the reason that Rav says that after the guy goes ahead and he's boiled, that then it becomes a Kedushin D'oraisa is because, since the whole problem was that there was a T'nai, that we can assume, given the Baal, Akle L'T'nai. But in this case, I mean, the fact is over there, he knew there was a T'nai, he knew there was a problem, and he does not repeat the T'nai, so apparently, that's the point. He's now ready to go ahead without the T'nai. But in this case, he didn't maybe even realize that there was an issue. They were just like man and wife for the past 5 years. Not all of a sudden he's going to remember that, you know, last week was her birthday, so I should actually be Baal Amanas to be Mekadesh. Who thinks like that? So there, Baha, Eimam, Odele, Lishmuel. Maybe you would agree that in this particular case, that Shmuel is correct. Now, there's two different ways, okay, of understanding this. The what we just said over here is basically the way that Tosfos understands it. So he and in this case where we have no reason to say like we do by the T'nai that he was meichel because otherwise he should have repeated it. So therefore over here we will say that in fact he would be meichel to Shmuel because of that we needed to repeat it. In this case, the Rav nonetheless holds that no, he doesn't want to do it. V'yitmar b'hav, I only knew the case over here by the katan, by the katana, I would have said maybe over here the guy, according to Shmuel, he was saying that he doesn't want to make a new kiddushin because he assumes the kiddushin before was fine. Avo, he's been married to her for 5 years now. Avo b'hach, maybe in the case where there was a t'nai, he would be made it to Rav, and that if he didn't repeat it, so inochiani, he was meichel. Therefore, I need to say both cases. Okay, there's a little bit of differences in the girsa. So lemaisa, according to Rashi, it's basically the opposite case. According to Rashi, if we only learned that we were talking about the case of a katan, so then I would have thought that maybe Rav is dafka thinking that over there, because he for sure understands he's got a child wife. I mean, so he's always thinking, how am I really going to be married to this woman? So because of this, he wants to make sure that as soon as it's her birthday, they go ahead and they make a kiddushin. Masha Inken, it's very possible that when he went ahead and was Makadisher, he doesn't know that his wife is a vegan. She's managed at the time of Kedushin. She hasn't said anything about it, right? So, okay, so he figures, all right, so, you know, we have a Diraisa marriage. So I might have thought that over there, the guy doesn't think again that he's got to repeat it and so on. Okay, in any event, there's two approaches, but obviously the cases are not the same, and therefore we need to have both. Now, the problem is it really true that in the event that you have a Yesema, either Yesema B'chayav, or a real Yesema, who was L'chatchila only a Darabana, and afterwards she becomes a Gedela, and Rav is really saying that the only time that the Kedushin is the Araisa is in the event that he was Baal once again. But I can tell you from an actual case that that's not true. There was an event in Narish. And over there, there was a Kedusha Ketana. We had been Magdashir Kedusha Ketana. And when she grew up, so they wanted to take her to the chuppah. So they put her on this, what they used to do, a Bikur Saya. They would have this whole fancy couch and carry her to the chuppah and so on. And she's about to get Nisuin with this guy. And this other guy comes in who's had his eye on her for a long time and is, aha, so now she's old enough to actually go to the chuppah, is she? And he goes in and makes off with the runaway bride and they get to the chuppah and she's gone. Or at least that's what we're assuming the idea is. So what happened was over there that he kidnapped her, ran away with her. Not kidnapped, chutfah, but he grabbed her before this guy got a chance to get her. Now, Rav Bruna and Rav Hananel, both of them are Talmidim of Rav, and they said that she does not need a get from the second guy. So, I mean, obviously that means that even though they were only on the way to the chuppah, which means that he had not made her yet a Diraisa Kenyan, that apparently it grew up with her. And as soon as she became Ruya, she is now considered to be a Diraisa wife. So Mamela, this guy made off with her, you know, we'll just take her away. But she certainly doesn't need to get from him. So isn't this a contradiction? In Rav Shita, Omer of Papa, you're talking about Narish. Those guys are Narish. You know what they had? They do all kinds of crazy things there. They are Mintzev Nasive Vahadamus Vahabekursaya. First, they go ahead and they sleep with the girl, you know? And then they take her to the chuppah. Very modern kind of place. So already, if she was on the way to the chuppah, you can be sure that he had already been Baal. That's why Rav was saying that she doesn't need it. And not Rav, but Talmidei Rav was saying that I'll leave it to Rav. She doesn't need Davke in Narish. She doesn't need. Because over there, they had already Baal. Ravashiyama, you don't have to say that. It could very well be that there is not such crazy minig in Narish. And the reason that we didn't ask get from him is because since he's such a bum, who ever heard of such a thing of walking off with the bride as she's coming to the chuppah? That's wild. So because of the fact that who asa shalok ha-hogan, the fichach asu bo shalok ha-hogan. So the truth is, it was a real serious issue, but the Rabbanan were mafkia the Kiddushin from him. Because since Kol Demekadesh, Rashi understands it, that it's based on Kol Demekadesh, Adaitid Rabbanan Mekadesh. And remember, we always say, Areya Mekudesh Adli, Kedat Moshe Yisrael, that's, he ran under there and gave her a ring and said, Areya Mekudesh. The Rabbanan took away the Kiddushin and they annulled it. Amalei Revealer of Ashi. I mean, I understand that they can do that in the sense that money ownership is defined by Besdin. So there's this concept of Hefker, Besdin, Hefker. So therefore, what they can do is they can make the money as if it wasn't Issam, and maybe the Kiddushin wasn't Chal. But if it was Mekadesh Bibiya, I mean, what are they going to say? They're going to say it never happened? I mean, it did happen. So what do you mean they were Mevatel? How were they Mevatel it? What do you mean, how were they Mevatel it? Shavinu Rabbanu L'bilato B'latznut. They don't have to find a mechanism. It's as if it was a Kiddushin that was on the Tanai that the Rabbanu would approve. I don't give a hang. So what are you saying? So he slept with her. So people sleep with people all the time. So they were just making out. Why do I have to make it something Dafka that should be Mekudesh? So therefore they said, okay, fine. I hope you had a good time. Goodbye. And they took her away. That's all. Omer of Yudam Shmuel. Actually, the halacha is, like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, that we do tell the Ketana, go ahead and be Mima'enet. And therefore, once she's Mima'enet, so then the older sister can get married because, can get Yibum, because now he was never married to the younger sister, because the Miyun, of course, is Eker the whole thing retroactively. It annuls it from the beginning. And then he does Yibum. V'chein omar Rabbi Elazar, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Again, the question of the gears is Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Eliezer, but it really wouldn't matter, because if we're talking about Rebbe Lazar over here, so then we're talking about the Amora, obviously Rebbe Lazar who's paschaling, that's Rebbe Lazar ben Pedas, and it could be that maybe it would be Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua, if the gears are Rebbe Eliezer, then it's nothing really confusing. We had two different gearsos. So if it would be that, so then Rebbe Lazar ben Pedas is passing like Rebbe Eliezer, but Rebbe Eliezer is Rebbe Eliezer ben Urkanis, who's a Tana, and we shouldn't allow it to confuse us in any way. Anyway, we do not have Richie present. And I want you to know, the first one to come tonight was Doc. And he was well aware of the moment that was about to come. A little less dramatic, but it's the Litvisher way of doing things. Let's take a look at the situation over here. A guy is married to two kitanot and he dies. Okay, so as we said, the Rabbanon patterned their halachas on the Deoraisa, right? So if a guy is married to two gedolot, then what's the halacha? One of them either gets Yibum or Chalitz. You can't take both of them because the Torah says, you can't do Chalitz to one and Yibum to the other because then Kimat Shelo Banah, Shuv Lo Yivneh. So basically, either you're going to be doing Chalitz to one or you're doing Biyeh to one. And that other one is no longer needs to do anything because the Zika is canceled by the Bir Chalitza to one. Now, in this case, of course, there is no Diorita Zika because they were never married, but there was a Rabbanan relationship and the Rabbanan relationship follows the same rulings. So therefore, you give either Chalitza to one of them or Bia to one of them, and that patters the other one the same way it would have been in Diorita. And the same thing is true. Now, remember, we had two situations in which we have a derabbanan relationship. One of them is with a katana, and the other one is with a chareshet. So we made a tikkun for chareshot, that even though they cannot be mekabelet kiddushin, because of the fact that they have the din, same din as a katana, in the sense of not having das, nonetheless, we give them the protection of rabbanan sanctioned marriage. So therefore, if you were married to two charashot, it would be exactly the same issue. Question arises. In the event that you have a kitana and a charashot. Now, on the surface of things, you would assume But that's the same as being married to two ketanot. And that the biyah or chalitza to either of them would pater the other. But it's not. We're going to see why. So if he was married to two charashot, it's exactly the same thing as being married to two ketanot, because they're both the same level of issue. But suppose you were married to one ketana and one chareshet. Now there we've got a problem, because the bia of the pikachat poteret hachareshet. In the case of a ketana v'chareshet, ain biachat mayim poteret zirata. Why? We're going to have to figure that out. And it's not clear what we should do. If he's married both to a pikachat and a chareshet, well, so then it's quite clear. The pikachat is a diraisa, and the chareshet is a drabona. So therefore, once the yovam takes the pikachat, obviously that paters the chareshet, who is only married min rabbonan. But the bia of the chareshet cannot pater the pikachat, of course, because the drabonan is not going to remove the zika diraisa. That's quite clear. Now, suppose there was a gedola and a ketana. In this case, the ketana, again, is talking about a ketana yitoma, and that her marriage is only a derabona. So in that case, it's the same as the chareshet. The biyah gedola will pater the ketana, because the zika is the araisa for the gedola, and it's only derabona on the ketana. But ein biyata ketana poteret hagedola, because you cannot remove a deraisa zika with a derabonan yibum or chalitza. So that part, everything makes sense. The only thing that doesn't add up is, why do we say that if one of the wives was a ketana and one of the wives was a chareshet, that then it does not follow the same halacha that if you did yibum with one of them, you pater the other one? Lechora, it should be exactly the same case. Both of them are married only midrabanan. So this was the thing that is going to really concern us. So first of all, it's said over here that we give the same halacha. Before we even get to that issue, it said that if he was married to two charashot, it's the same thing as two ketanot. What was the din by two ketanot? That the yibum or the chalitza of one of them will pater the other one. So what it seems to be saying is that the yibum or the chalitza of one of them will pater the other one. But isn't it ridiculous to say that? Didn't we say before that a chareshet cannot get chalitza, remember? The chareshet bat chalitza? Didn't we have the Mishnah before on Kuf Dalet? Just recently. So whether the case is that you did chalitza to a yavam who was a cheresh, or if the one who was doing the act of the chalitza, the yavama, was a chareshet and she did the chalitza, or if the yavam was a katan, in any of these cases, the chalitza is pasul. And the Yavama is not allowed to marry anybody, because she is still going to be a Yavama Lashuk. So we cannot do Chalitza, not with the male being a Cheresh, and not with the female being a Cheresh. Now, even though your first take on that would be, because Chalitza requires Das, I want to remind you of the sugya that we had before. The sugya before was that the reason that you cannot take a du chalitza with a chareshet or with a cheresh is because they're unable to say the words that they need to say. Because by definition, someone who is a cheresh is a deaf mute, not simply deaf. So if that's the case, the issue was not da'at for some reason. Now, back there in the Gemara, there was a big machlokas with Shoni. Why isn't there a simple reason for why a cheresh and a chareshet cannot do chalitza? Remember before we said, so what's the difference? Even if you can't speak, nonetheless, we say that the kriya is not ma'akev. So who cares, right? So we answered over there that that's because of the famous halacha that kol haroi l'bila bila ma'akevet v'kol shein haroi l'bila ein bila ma'akevet kol shein haroi l'bila bila is ma'akevet. So if you're unable to say the words, that passels you for chalitza, whether you're the male or the female component. So there were two approaches to what it was referring to in the Gemara. Tosfos's approach over there, we went through this, but I want to remind you of it because otherwise it's quite confusing over here. Tosfos's approach was that the din of the Bezdin being able to define what it is that the act of the Cheresh or the act of the Chareshet is when it's Machshava Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asehem is sufficient to make this an act of Chalitza. Because remember, Chalitza is not a kinyan. Chalitza is the act that you need to do, which then the Torah defines the status. And therefore, all that we need to be sure of is that the intent in these cases was clearly an intent for the purposes of Chalitza. The presence of the Bezdin, who are saying what this is all about, and the involvement of the Cheresh or Chareshet in that, so that it's clear that they understand what is being said to them and their merames that they understand and so on, is sufficient to achieve that. It's not sufficient to achieve a kinyan, so therefore there couldn't be a kedushin d'oraisa, but there can be a chalitza. So that is important to remember here because it's going to change the way that we view the problem. So if you're talking about the case of the Cheresh or the case of the Chareshet, so over there the issue is the ability to speak, and since they can't say me'ein yabmi, and he can't say lo chafatzi l'kachta, so therefore they can't be involved. When it comes to the katan over there, we have a different problem. Over there, the choletzit bin hakatan is because we don't have sufficient das over there to even be sure about the act. So over there, it's because it says beferish ish in the parsha. Remember we had before machlokas whether we compare the isha to ish, even though it doesn't say beferish ha'isha, but it says ha'ish, so that means that a yavam has to be an ish. So anyway, so then how is our Mishnah saying that the situation of chalitza to a chareshet should be the same as to a ketana? I don't understand. Omer of Gidol Amaravo. Obviously, that's not what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah was referring to it's the same meaning that the bia of one will take off the zika for the other. That's all it was saying. It wasn't indicating that you could do either bia or chalitza. It's just saying it's the same situation. It's since both of them are on the same darga. So therefore, in the same way we said two ketanot, what you do to one is going to potter the other, so too the chareshet. But it doesn't mean that the same things will potter, obviously. It's saying what you do to potter one will potter the other. Whereas Rabba said, no. The Mishnah could even be saying that you can do chalitza. You know why? Because I have a big chiddush. There's a big nafkamina between a woman who is a chareshet from before, meaning that at the time of the marriage, she was already a chareshet. Whereas what you were asking from, that you were saying that they cannot be a do an act of chalitza, that's talking about it. When she got married midiraisa, and she was at that point a pikachat, and it was a full marriage. And then she became a chareshet. So if afterwards she became a chareshet, so then there's a big difference. If she was a chareshet mi'ikara, so then that means that the original marriage was only because of the fact that we allowed a chareshet to participate in as if she were able to make kinyanim. But that means the whole thing was only the Rabbanan. So for that, the Rabbanan said, okay, the same way she got into the marriage, meaning using remizot and indicating yes, yes, and winking her eye or whatever it is that indicated that she understands. So kihecha de al hachina. In fact, the same way that she came in only al pi remiza, she leaves al pi remiza with a chalitza. Masha enkein. If originally at the time of the kiddushin she was a pikachat and now she's in a state where she had become a chareshet, she had a stroke or whatever, so in that case the kriya saying those psukim is going to be ma'akev because she's incapable of kriya. The rabbanan could not change that in the case where the original kedushin was the oraita. Eitve Abaye, so Abaye said to Rabba, is that true? That a chareshet mi'ikara. You're saying that if she was mi'ikara, it's fine. You're telling me that she's a bat chalitzahi? Because the same way she came in, that's the way she goes out? I know that there's a beferish mishnah that we're going to have very soon that says not like that. It says, v'atnan, shnei achin. In the event that you have two brothers, one of whom is a pikeach, and one of whom is a cheresh, and they are married to two women who are unrelated to each other. One of them is a pikachat, and one of them is a chareshet, and they marry basically the same as themselves. The pikeach marries the pikachat, and the cheresh marries the chareshet. So in that case, if the cheresh who was married to the chareshet dies, what should the pikeach, who is married to the pikachat, do for his wife? Well, he can only be kones, because since he is married, his brother was married to a chareshet, there's no possibility of chalitza. Note, that's what it's saying. No possibility of chalitza. The only option he has, excuse me, Rabbah, did you hear what it just said in the Mishnah? He has to go and he marries her, and there's no way to achieve a chalitza, and then he could give her a get, because basically it's possible to be megaresh bal korcha, and therefore now everything would be fine, because now she can marry anyone at all, midrabanan, because she's no longer a yavama. So Imra Tzalotzi Yotzi, he can afterwards give her a get. But how about the other way around? If the pikeach, who is married to a normal woman, Baala Pikacha, dies, what can be done with the cheresh, who is the Baal HaChareshet? Well, what he can do, the only thing that he can do, is that he does yibum. He can't possibly do chalitza, and the yibum he can do because the Torah said that he is chayev over here in the Yibam. I just wanted to tell you, by the way, I forgot to mention earlier, I said it was about Chalukas Shonim, and I forgot to tell you the other approach. The other approach, not like Tosfos, who says that there's a difference in the Das, and that's why we're focused entirely on the ability to speak. The Ramban's approach over there is that what the Gemara says, Cheresh, it means unable to speak. It does not mean unable to hear, because he does not believe the differences that Tosfos made, even though that is not the normal use of the word. And the Gemara makes that very clear, that kol makom shenem acheresh means eno medaber and eno shomea. But anyway, that's the way the Ramban and a few others understand it back there. So just keep that in mind. It very simplifies the whole problem over here. So what he should do over there is he can't give a get afterwards, because a cheresh can't give a get. But nonetheless, since the Zika was the Arisa, so then the Torah gives it to him as a full Kenyan. Once it's full Kenyan, he can't get rid of her ever. Now, note, my dear Rabbi, it does say Kones, that in that event, the Yavam should do Yibum with the Charesha. Now, according to you, since she was a chareshet initially, so then why does he only have a right to do yibum? According to you, you can even do chalitza. Chaletzlo, it's very clear over here that you don't do chalitza. Says Rabbi, I mean, you're assuming that it's talking about that she was a chareshet miikara. What makes you think that? It only says that they're currently married, the cheresh is married to a chareshet. I know you're saying, okay, but you know, normally the cheresh would marry somebody like himself, so it's probable she was a cheresh at Mikara. I mean, you can't jump to conclusions like that. So I would say that, let's say the Mishnah's talking about where at the time that she got married, she was originally a pikachat. And afterwards, of course, we'll have to say that the husband was also a pikeach, and then both of them, the family that strokes together, stays together. So they both had a stroke, and they lost their ability to speak. Whatever. I don't know, but you can't jump to conclusions, says Rabbi. This is a little bit strange, but okay, fine. Says the Gemara, all right. if you're going to be so obstinate about it, why don't we read another case in the same Mishnah? Okay, what are you going to do over there? So let's take a look now. Shnei achim pikrin. So what about if you have two brothers who are perfectly normal and they are married to two unrelated women? One of them is a pikachan and one of them is a charesha. Now, in that case, what's the halacha? Huh? So in other words, first one of them married a normal woman and the other one marries a charesed woman. That's what it seems to be talking about, right? Now, what should, if the meita pikach, bala charesed, if the brother who had been married to the charesed dies, what should the brother who is currently married to a pikachad do? Well, he's kones. He can marry her, and if he wants to divorce her afterwards, he can. And what if the other brother, the one who was married to the regular pikacha, dies? What should the piker bal hachareshet do? Well, he can do either chalitza or yibum. Now, I mean, are you going to try to tell me in this case? I mean, over here we're talking about a guy who was a pikeach. We're talking about at the time of the marriage, he was a pikeach. Nothing changed in his status, right? They're both pikeachim. I understand you said in the other case their status changed. But over here it says both of them were normal. So, I mean, isn't it very reasonable to say that if it's describing what he was at the time of the marriage, it's describing what she was at the time of the marriage, and if it calls her a chareshet, so then it's probable that's basically the case. I mean, the alternative, Rabbah, is to say that the guy who was originally a cheresh became a pikeach. I mean, come on, is that what you think? You know, he had had a stroke, but now he got back. I mean, that's going too far. I mean, the norm is, if it's talking about a pikeach, so then he was a pikeach when he married her. So then who did he marry? He married a chareshet. So, clearly, I mean, to me anyway, if he was a pikeach initially, then it means that she was also a chareshet at the time that they get married. And it says over here, there's no option of chalitza. It says you can only do kinos, but cholet shlo. So how are you going to answer this case? I don't understand. What, just because he was a pikeach, so that means that her status didn't change to become a chareshet? Why? The guy was a pikeach. Yes, of course he was a pikeach originally. What would be no gear that he was a cheresh who became a pikeach? But when we talk about the chareshet, it means that she became a chareshet. I don't see what your proof is. Oy vey, says Abaye. I can't believe this. All right, I'll ask you from another part of the same Mishnah, okay? Shnei Achim. In this case, we're talking about two brothers where one of whom was a pikeach and one of them was a cheresh, and they are married, in this case, to two sisters. And one of the sisters is a pikachat, and one of the sisters is a chareshet. So now we get into the issue of whether the achot isha, which is a drabonin, falls to one. What do we do in that case? So then in that case, if the cheresh was married to the chareshet, if he ups and dies, what does the pikeach who's married to the pikachas do? Well, he does absolutely nothing. Why should he do anything? He is married midiraisa to the sister of this woman who was only married to Rabbanan, to his brother. So forget about it. I mean, over here, there's no yibum or chalitza. It's a classic achot isha. It's even better than a normal achot isha where she faults him diraisa. Over here, she doesn't really fault him diraisa at all. So, of course, he doesn't do anything. But how about in the other case? How about if the pikeach dies and he was married to the pikachat? So now that means that the pikachat falls to his brother who is a cheresh and married to the chareshet, who is the sister. What happens now? Well, now we got problems, because he has to give a get to his wife, because in this case, what we have over here is a cheresh. That whole marriage is a drabonin, right? But the pikeach, who is his brother, was married to the sister-in-law, who was a pikachat, midiraisa. So now when he dies, there's a real Zika d'oraisa, if there's a Zika d'oraisa, so then his own, so to speak, wife, the sister who's a Chareshet, who is only Midrabbanan, becomes Asura the moment that he dies, because he has a Zika to her sister. So now she's Achot Zekukato. Well, he's not allowed to keep Achot Zekukato, so he's going to have to get rid of his own wife, because, gosh, this is a case of Achot Zekukato. And, all right, that's what he does for his wife. What about the wife of his brother who died? Well, that woman does not have an Eitzah. There's no way that he can get her out of her pickle, because she is stuck. He can't do Yibam, because Midrabbanan, the Yavama is Asura to him, because she is Achot Ishto, even though that Ishto is only Midrabbanan, but you can't violate that Midrabbanan and go ahead and take her B'Yibam. And he can't do Chalitza because he's a Cheresh, and he's unable to speak and to say that Lo Chafatzi L'Kachta. So basically, she remains Asura forever, and he, meanwhile, all that happened is Miskein, he loses the wife that he did have. So that's a disaster. Now, basically, what this is saying is that essentially there's no way to do Chalitza at all. In the cases that we had up until now, when you said it was a Cheresh, she was Chereshet at that time, I mean, according to you, Rabbah, couldn't you say the same thing over here, that they weren't Chereshim at the time that they got married? I mean, you said the cases in the Mishnah were that they became Chereshim. In the cases where it was only the women, so the women became Chereshim. So wouldn't you say the same cases over here? Now, if you're going to tell me that in this case, the Mishnah is talking about a Pikeach who became Nischarish, and that's what the case is, because according to you, that's what you claim the cases have been up until now, then that can't possibly be. Because a Pikeach that became a Cheresh is not able to give a get. And you're saying he should be able to give a get. But the problem is, if at the time that he married her, he was marrying her d'oraisa, then when he gives the get, it's not going to undo a marriage mid'oraisa. So what didn't it say beferish? We're going to have in that same mission later on, but it's not. If a woman was nitcharsha, so she became a chareshet after the marriage, her husband is able to give her a get, b'bal korcha. But if she went nuts, nishtatet, then he cannot give her a get, even though the halacha is that you don't need das, right? But nonetheless, we have a problem with that, because Rabbanan made a takana that someone who is nishtatet, she cannot take care of herself. And so even though they did make this takana for the cases of the Chareshet and so on, but when it comes to the Shota, they made the opposite takana. They made the takana for her that we shouldn't be able to be Megarish her, because being Megarish a Shota is the equivalent of basically allowing her to be just a prostitute, because she has no way of taking care of herself. Everybody is going to take advantage of her. This is what happens in all of these institutions for the insane. That's why there's so many scandals of people taking advantage of people that are insane. So the Rabbanan did not allow it. Mashein came with it. It came to the Chareshet over there. Chareshet is not crazy. She knows how to take care of herself. But this woman would not be able to take care of herself. So fine. So because of that, we don't allow that. But in any event, what about if he became a Cheresh? Or what about if he went insane? There is nothing to do, because since his Kedushin was a D'oraisa, and currently he is not capable of giving a get, the Rabbanan can't make a takana that the Cheresh should be able to give a get with Remisa to take off a D'oraisa Kedushin. Therefore, Rava, it's got to be talking about that initially it was a cheresh, because it says he can give a get. Okay, so I am asking you once again from the Mishnah, if he is a cheresh mi'ikara, and we're talking about a case where she is presented in the same case as he is, I mean, now you got to be kidding. You're going to tell me that he was a cheresh mi'ikara, but she was not a chareshet mi'ikara. Okay, so you're agreeing with me they were both chareshet mi'ikara. Now, in this case, this is the case of the two sisters. I'm saying that if this third case, which is the case of two sisters, you're ready to admit that they were charashot mi'ikara, so then the original cases that we're talking about, non-sisters, where you kept being obstinate and claiming that, no, it's talking about that she became a charashot in between, I mean, now it's really getting out of hand. You're ready to agree with me in case number three with the sisters that when it says charashot, it means that she was always charashot. Now you're going to tell me that in the previous cases, you're still going to insist that they changed somehow in the middle and they got a stroke and became charashot. I don't believe it. Okay? So if we're talking about, if you're ready to admit that we're talking about a woman who was a charashot mi'ikara, which according to you is able to get chalitza, you said. So then why does the Mishnah say he can only be kones? He cannot be chalitz. How do you explain that? You see that you're wrong. This time, Ishtik. Rabba, who was like trying to shoehorn his case into the Mishnah, at this point, he gives up. I give up. Okay, so didn't have anything to say. Ki ato lekami de Rav Yosef. Now, when Abaya came, he told Rav Yosef the whole amazing discussion, and he shut Rabba up and so on. Rav Yosef said to him, I don't understand you. I mean, you went to such crazy lengths to show Rabba that he's wrong. And in the end, you couldn't conclusively prove that he's wrong. What you did was, is you gradually made it very difficult for him to keep maintaining his opinion. And you did this with such agonizing cases. This case, no. That case, well. This case, no. You could have asked him an absolutely devastating question, which then would have blown him out of the world water, and you wouldn't have had any of this. What the heck is wrong with you? My time at Tosfei Mihai, why in the world, if you were looking at that Mishnah, did you look at the least relevant part of the Mishnah? He could have answered you over there. Obviously, if he wanted to, I mean, you couldn't have disproved it. It would have been a little bit ridiculous, but he still could have said, the Yochel Shinui Elechai could have said, look, the case of the Achayot, I admit, is talking about where they were Charashot at the time of the wedding, but I still insist that the case of the Nochriot, the Pikchot, V'achakach, Nitcharshu, and go disprove it. You know what you should have asked him? Ibai Lachalutu V'me'ah. How about the other case in the same Mishnah, for heaven's sakes? You were right there and you left it. The case is, if there are two brothers, both of them were charashim, and they are married to two sisters, both of whom are normal. So they're achayot pikchot. Oh, try the other way. The two sisters were charashot, and they married the shnei achim charashim, or two sisters, one of whom was a pikachat, and one of whom was a charesh. So obviously, where we have a brother who was the charesh, no matter what they marry, if they marry a pikachat, if they marry a chareshet, a charesh's marriage is only drabonon. That's for sure. So we don't have to get confused over here. And the same thing were true in the inverse. Let's say we start off with two achayot who are themselves charashot. It doesn't matter what they marry. They can marry two brothers who are pikhin. They can marry two brothers who are themselves harashin. They can marry two brothers, one of whom is pikeach, and one of whom is a cheresh. The bottom line is that it'll only be a kedusha drabonan because we started off with women who are harashot. Okay, so now we understand what we're talking about. We're talking about, in all six cases, we're talking about where we had a drabonan marriage. Now, let's talk about one of the brothers dies in any of these six cases. So then the din is in all of these cases. The sisters, remember what they, in three of the cases they're charashot, in three of the cases they are pikhot, but it won't matter Because since the status of the Kiddushin is exactly the same, which is Darabonon, for both of them, so then one potters the other. That's all. And therefore, what's going to happen in over here is that it's an Achot Isha Midarabonon, and one of them, whichever one it is that falls, is going to mean that the wife of the one that is of the brother who survived is going to pater from Yimim v'Chalitza, obviously. So in this case, she is Achot Isha. So even though it was only Darabonon, both sides are Darabonon. The marriage to the Biavam was Darabonon, either because he or she is a Cheresh, and the marriage to the brother who died is Darabonon. So there's no problem over here. It's the same level of Achot Isha. Now, how about if these women were not sisters? So now they can't pater because they're falling as Achot Isha. So what do we do in that case? So in that case, in any one of these situations where the marriage is only a Darabonon, they should go ahead, they should marry the whoever it is that's falling to them from Yibum, and if they want afterwards to give them a get, they're perfectly okay to give them a get. Now, I want you to think about this as Rabbi Yosef. Explain to me the case. Are we talking about a case where initially they were actually Pikrin, and afterwards they became Charashin, which is what Rabbah's been trying to claim all along, that we can distinguish those two cases? How can they divorce their wives afterwards? Didn't we just have that Mishnah? That if afterwards, nishtatet lo yotzi, a woman who goes insane, rabbanu u'masakin, you cannot divorce her ba'al korcha even. Nitcharesh, if either the man, the husband, was a cheresh, or he became insane, so then obviously lo yotzi olamit, because you need das. So the case over here was that they started off as Charashin. And that's the reason that since it was only Darabonon marriage, the same way that it was entered into marriage with Remiza, they get out of the marriage by Remiza. Okay. So therefore, if they are Charashin Mi'ikara in order to make this work, that they should be able to get, so then that means that the case of the women was also Inhinami Charashot Mi'ikara. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that in the case where these women were not sisters, and there were no chriot, what should he do? He should do yibum. In any of the cases, why yibum? Why can't he do chalitza? Since, after all, we're talking about that they were initially charashot at the time of the wedding, and nonetheless it's saying yechaltzu? Absolutely not. Lo. There is no chalitza. Okay. This is clearly a tiyuf to the rabbah, not with your getting rabbah to be quiet. You've got to knock him out. This is a knockout blow. And indeed, tiyuf to this is an absolute knockout for rabbah. It is saying clearly in this mishnah that I couldn't care less whether we start with the cheresh or she was original pikacha, became a cheresh. There is no way under either cases that we can do chalitza. The ikuv of kriya from the pasuk will be true even on a kedushin that was entirely derabbanan, and therefore it is not an option. We have to go back to the way we understood it before, that when the Mishnah says, yes, the same thing is true about being married to two charashot, it doesn't mean the same thing. That just like two ketanot, you could do either chalitz or yibum. It means the same thing, that taking care of one of them takes care of the other one. But what the same thing is limited, of course, to bia in the case of the charashot.